VentureCast.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Music.
Horror.
Subculture. And overall badass.
Welcome
to Kettle Whistle Radio. With your hosts, Dave and Sean.
Hey, welcome back to Kettle Whistle Radio with me, Dave, and Sean, and joined by Heather, Miss Heather Taddy. We recorded this during a thunderstorm, so it's going to be lots of little glitches here and there, but I think at one point you actually can hear when lightning strikes right near our yard in the back several times, knocking things loose, but yet we kept the boat afloat. And all right, well, enjoy right now. Kettle Whistle Radio with Heather Taddy. Thank you. Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1.
Whoa, that knocked it out.
Whoa, it stayed on. That's so cool. It came back on. All right.
Wait, no, I need to really, like, know what I'm saying. Se tu avessi letto avaresta imparato. If you had read, you would have learned.
Welcome to Kettle Whistle Radio, where we don't test anything before we start it. There's a major storm outside, though. This could go dead at any moment.
That was
thunder. I got the shivers.
Actually, everybody sounds good, especially our Italian guest. So, welcome back. I told you you'd have Heather Taddy in the house in the next episode. Yesterday, we had some great Chinese yesterday, and I had to remind you of all the things you have going on. You have a few things going on right now. Right now, we have a huge storm, so I don't know how many interruptions we may have. If we get through this, I'll be amazed.
Well, let's start by talking about our trip to the record store yesterday.
All right.
So there's a very, it's pretty well-known record store called Jerry's. You can really find the old stuff there. It's like a massive warehouse full of records. And we went there yesterday, and I got a Living Italian complete language course, four records, and a book on a conversation manual on Italian. So I'm expanding my horizons.
All right, so you can go on tour in Italy and France now.
Yeah, and I got Close Encounters of the Third Kind on vinyl.
Yes, you did. She's holding it right now. It's
original
amazing.
Motion picture soundtrack.
And yes, it came with a 45. Now, it's not the Miko disco version, is it?
No.
It's just like the version is the radio cut, I guess. That's John Williams, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Composed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know all his stuff.
So I'm excited to listen to that. I haven't listened to it yet. And then I got Think and Grow Rich, which is the book from Napoleon Hill that the term positive mental attitude that HR kind of talks about. That's where that came from. I've always wanted to read it.
What's the year on that thing? Is that like 78 or is that a 60s record? You're going to have to post
pictures.
I'm going to
say, I don't know.
She's taking it out. The sleeve's still there. 1960.
Copyright 1960.
1960. Okay, so are you going to... well, there's lightning. Did you hear that, folks? You heard a little warp just then? Oh, even better.
Oh, wow, I like that.
Wow, that was lightning,
that
folks.
That was fun.
Yes, the studio. Helm's Deep just got hit.
Helm's Deep getting struck.
Getting struck as we speak. Oh, my God. All
right,
so...
You know what they say, right?
I'm not sure.
Don't go Helm's Deep.
What? You're just full of them today, man. You're just full of them. I think it's knocking out our soundboard, but we're... Oh, hey. We're still going. All right, so Heather, yeah, that was Jerry's Records. I met the new owner. Apparently, Jerry passed away.
He did a couple years ago. Yeah,
Very famous place. It's actually overwhelming the amount of records that are in there. Sean, have you been there?
I've been there. I was just telling Heather it's been a while, though.
It's been a while.
Been a while. Yeah. So this guy Chris took over. Who we talked to was a really nice guy. Gave me a freebie. I don't know if I should say that, but. James Gang was the second or first James Gang album.
I think the one from 1969. I actually listened to it today. I love it.
It's
so much.
Your album is the name of the record. And it's so good. It's really good.
It's
very
really good.
Bass oriented. So mm-hmm. That immediately, when we were listening to it in there, like it, we were like, we know this, but we don't know this. And then we found out
because I recognized
Gang.
Joe Walsh,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, I know what this is, but I just don't know what it is. You know.
And all right, so now you have. Tons of stuff going on with you right now. I know that. As far as the records, was that everything that you?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, before we get into you, let's see. I bought Men at Work, Business as Usual, just to have it nostalgic. On Through the Night, Def Leppard. Sean will relate to that one.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had the album there, so I bought it. Came with a 45.
I'm
don't
sad
know.
I didn't get to go though.
It was during the day. Yeah. I don't know.
It was like, it was the afternoon.
Was it an afternoon thing? I forget what else I got. Oh, America's Greatest Hits, because I dig that. And some weird sound effects thing that you picked out.
Oh, yeah. We need to listen to that.
Yeah, it's like flying saucer noises and the soundtrack to Santa Claus hanging out with aliens or something.
Oh, I want to hear that.
I have no idea. It's sitting in there. Yeah.
Perfect Thursday night listening.
Yeah. Yeah, to this storm. I mean, if you could see, it was the sky was green a little bit ago. I don't know if we're supposed to have tornadoes, but... Here we go again in Helm's Deep recording. Now, you also saw Tom York's band.
I did, The Smile.
Oh, did you go
and
to that?
I did.
Ugh.
It was pretty good. You know, I had never seen Radiohead before, so this is probably like the closest I'm ever going to get to see Radiohead, but very good. Very like intricate parts. I loved watching Tom York play the bass. There's something about the way he would play the bass, and they would switch instruments and stuff, so...
Was he squinting? Was he squinting?
Yeah, he was just like an angel man.
Okay.
It was amazing.
He has that weird squint, that's why. but yeah, you basically saw 3/5 of Radiohead in that band?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it two? It's 2/5?
Yeah, I think it's 2/4. Johnny Greenwood and...
I can't remember if the drummer's not original. He's like mm-hmm. some jazz, very jazzy drummer. It was pretty good.
You sent me 3 clips that were pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so now where was that at?
Stage AE.
Stage AE, the place. Yeah, okay, cool. How long did they play? Because I know those tickets weren't cheap.
They played from 9 to 10:30.
9 to 10:30. Okay, so...
Did they have an opener?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yes, it was this guy named Richard. He played the saxophone.
Really?
It was just a bunch of noise. Really, it was. It was just noise.
Sax,
yeah.
Saxy noise, not sexy
yeah,
noise.
Yeah, it was.
that's a shame.
I'm trying to think of who else... I've seen.
Well, I was going to ask you next before you get into. I know you've seen a few, but you met somebody recently that I'm very jealous of, and I don't know if Sean knows this one.
I think I told him.
He knows who it is.
So through a mutual friend.
Yeah, he does know this.
I was able to meet one of my favorite bass players ever. Mm. Her name is Pauslin Shanton. A huge influence on me besides Eric Avery in like playing the bass. And I remember watching the Judith video, the Perfect Circle Judith video.
Yeah.
And that was when I was, I mean, that came out, what, 2000, I think that record came out in 2000, 2001.
Oh my God. Was
that was when I was playing in, like, my first bands, and I didn't know how to, like, stand when I was playing the bass. I didn't know how to move. But then I would see her wearing, like, heels and just looking awesome, and I was like, I need to be like her. And then from that day on, I've just followed her work. But she was super nice, super cool.
Do you tie your hair up during a riff?
Like no, but does. I should. Yeah. I should. That's such a like a very memorable,
very female sexy move while there's a bass break. She just suddenly ties her hair up, and then you know, oh, there's a girl in the band.
But like on the head of my bass, I always put a flower, like a fake flower on it, and that's what I got that from her. I stole that from her because she always did that.
Well, you got to talk. You got to tell us a little bit now. What show were you at that you met her?
I went to see the Pixies.
The Pixies. Okay, that would make sense.
Franz Ferdinand opened.
Really? Were they any good?
Yeah, they were. Okay. I only caught a couple of their songs because it was pouring the whole time, whole show.
Like now.
So I would kind of go in and out. But I saw most of the Pixies set, and it was great.
Was that at the outdoor venue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Very cool.
That's the second time I've seen them. But they opened with, I think they opened with a Gigantic, maybe. I don't remember.
Did they play for a long time, or was it like Friends? They both equally played as long? Or?
The Pixies played longer.
I hope so.
Yeah, it was a good set. It was kind of neat that it was raining, but at the same time, I was like, I don't want to be like soaking wet when I meet like my favorite bassist, you know?
That's incredible, though.
She's totally rad.
And is she about your height? Or I was wondering how tall she actually. I've seen her twice.
Yeah, she is.
But I can't tell.
She's pretty much, yeah.
She's taller than you?
No, I'd say around the same height.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember you when in the Glowworms days, you were trying to emulate her moves. Like
totally.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. I got to see it live. It was good. But
I think I actually told her that the first time. When I went to
planted the seed.
Like her your last Glowworm show before you went to North Carolina.
At the Rock Room. Yeah.
I was like, you remind me of Paws.
Oh, that's such an amazing compliment.
There you go. There you go. But now what, did you approach her? I got to know. I mean, I have to know how this worked out. You said she was aloof.
She added me on Instagram because we have a mutual friend. So we had been talking for a little bit. And then she's like, oh, when we come to Pittsburgh, you can be my guest and bring a friend. So my friend Breezy and I went. And then after the show, you know, most of the other band had already left because it was raining and they had to leave in like 2 hours to go to Ohio or something. So we went backstage and just talked to her for a little bit. And then that was it. She's like, if you're ever in LA, come hang out. And she's a big surfer. So I was like, if I ever come to LA and have extra time, you're teaching me how to surf.
Is that so?
So... yeah.
I'd be terrified of dying by a shark.
Yeah, me too.
When you're out there, you don't think about it. I'm going to say I've tried.
I'd be thinking about it.
It depends. I grew up in Long Island around beaches. You don't think about it. Okay. When you're in there, you're enjoying yourself so much that you don't. I did. You're surrounded by Jaws memorabilia here.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I boogie boarded a lot, and that's even more dangerous, I think, because your legs are hanging out the back. But I was never afraid, and you ask folks that love it, they don't even think about it. I know a guy that does it every morning, even in the wintertime. And but now the sharks are moving in because we're killing their food supply, so it is a different element.
Mm-hmm.
But so you guys, like, what words did you share in person? Like, what I'm so curious about.
I don't know. I think she was like, so you're on ghost shows? Like, I don't think she knew what I did exactly, but she kind of knew that I did something with ghosts. So she was like intrigued by that. But gosh, I don't even remember what we talked about. We talked about bass.
Classic violinist too, isn't she?
Oh yeah, I told her I played the violin. Yeah, she's
so
good. Because
she grew up in a musical family.
Mm-hmm. Her dad's like a composer, pianist. I honestly don't remember. It just happened so quickly. I was just like very in the moment. I didn't even get like a picture or anything. I was just like,
those are the best times.
Very in the moment. Yeah, it was cool.
I get a lot of grief of not taking pictures with people in that moment, but in that moment, it's for me. And I met that person. It's great. You know, I'm not going to say, hey, come back and take a picture.
Yeah, and you know, and she hadn't eaten, so I can understand playing a show like that. It's like so much intense energy. So I wasn't going to just be like keeping her there. I was just like, neat. She gave me her guitar pick. I gave her a Flying Saucers pin. It said Flying Saucers are real.
That's so cool.
So, yeah.
All right, well, we're gonna get right back into Heather Taddy here. We're going to play a song real quick from The Damn Truth. This is another one from Pete Noble Productions, and I just want real quick to tell you something about this. The song is Lonely, and what the lead singer, her name is Leela, says about this song. The song Lonely started taking shape in our touring van as we began across a Canada tour, and the band leader, Leela Baum, says that. 3 days into that journey, our van went up in flames with our acoustic instruments, personal belongings, and our hopes to continue our long-awaited tour. So they had a GoFundMe and got everything back. And now you're going to hear the song that they wrote in that van while it was on fire. Now, they were inspired by it. All right, and we'll get right back with Heather Taddy and Sean. Uncle Sean is in the house.
Uncle Sean.
Well, I have a new nickname. Thank you.
No, no.
I prefer
no,
that.
No, you're not. You're younger than me, so Captain Sexy. Yeah, Captain Sexy. You thought you'd escape that.
One of those.
You can't have it now. Shut up.
Kettle Whistle Radio.
All right, so we're back. Captain Sexy doesn't want to talk. I asked him to start things off. He's mad that I'm not calling Uncle Sean.
I'm shy.
And he's sticking with Captain Sexy. I forgot to call you that in the first episode back, but I am back.
Don't you have memory loss from your recent...
Yeah, from February through May, I have memory loss.
Well, maybe it's good that you don't remember any of that.
There's a lot of bloody moments that I don't want to remember, but I almost bit it a few times, and I don't want to... Yeah, I don't want to push my luck there. But I'm out and not going back, knock on wood. And if you want to hear what happened, folks, it's on the episode before this one. You just heard the damn truth, Lonely. Hope you like it. Now, let's see. I was talking in last episode with Sean about sleep paralysis. He was talking.
Really?
Yes. Quite a bit. And I don't want to talk too much about sleep paralysis, but just that the fact that, you know, at first I made fun of it, and then I really understood it.
Have you ever experienced it?
Thank you very much. Yes, but not quite like Sean. I'm actually writing about it right now. I don't know that I want to disclose too much at the moment, but I think that he may have passed this curse on to me. But that's where I'm coming in with you, Heather, right now. Have you ever met or interviewed anyone besides Sean with sleep paralysis?
Yes.
Similar to Sean. Are they always alone, or have you met like spouses, significant others who witnessed the phenomena while it was happening?
Most of it's been people sleeping alone.
Okay. Well, Sean, you said you did not.
It's happened in bed with my wife, you know, we'd both be sleeping, and, you know, it feels like Sometimes it feels like there's things crawling on you.
Ooh.
You get the crawly sort of electric kind of weird feeling.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a sleep apnea test or any kind of sleep test?
No.
I wonder if that, Heather, would that, does that ever help anybody?
I don't know with sleep paralysis. I don't know the connection between sleep apnea. I don't really know what sleep apnea.
You're snoring, you're asleep, but you're not getting the actual rest you need. And your body's still kind of like, you're just not getting what you need. But even the snoring is actually keeping your body awake.
You stop breathing.
Stop breathing at times. Sleep apnea. Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, it can cause a heart attack. My friend John, actually, his wife saved his life by getting him the test and the mask and everything else. Because he was on his way to a heart attack just sleeping.
Jeez.
Okay. And all right, Heather, I want to ask you about this too. Cursed objects. I've learned a lot, and we're going to talk about not just your stuff, but a certain book, The Demonologist, that Sean loaned to me and you read, where I learned a lot from that, where cursed objects, I don't want to get too deep into it yet, but cursed objects are basically, they're not possessed. They're not possessed, but they're not alive. An inhuman spirit does not take over the doll. It throws the doll across the room. It uses it as a toy, basically.
Yeah,
what I've read, and I learned that with the demon. I thought maybe it's a lot of people. The misconception is that it goes inside the doll or the toy, and now that object is possessed. But it's usually a person in the room possessed, or an inhuman spirit floating around the room.
Right.
It's not
The Demonologist is one of my favorite books. I actually have my copy right here. Amazing. I've read it so many times.
I'm gonna pick your brain on that one.
I think this book does a good job of explaining like Ed and Lorraine's process. You know, when they do investigations, and it talks about how, like, you know, they started lecturing in like 1968, and before that they already had like 22 years of research under their belt with stuff. So and a lot of people don't realize that they appreciated and like worked with people from all religions.
That's,
you know,
sure.
Of course they pushed the Catholic, but it's all, they worked with all religions, and they were very well educated in all religions, especially Ed.
And Lorraine made it a point live when we saw that. I saw that when she did that speaking at Slippery Rock,
mm-hmm.
and she was just when some hippie chick stood up and said, "Well, I don't believe, I'm an atheist," and Lorraine's like, "Well, you better find some religion if you think you're ever going to confront these things."
She schooled her.
She really, So that's A Demonologist by Gerald Brittle. It's a book on Ed and Lorraine Warren.
And it also has the real story of Annabelle, which is so much more fascinating than the movie. The movie was not good.
No, it wasn't good. It was sci-fi, basically. You met Annabelle, sort of.
Mm-hmm. We used to travel around with Lorraine, and she'd bring NESPAR, her investigation, you know, society that her and Ed had started. They would bring haunted objects. So you'd get an image of, like, her helpers wearing gloves and carrying the Annabelle case up and up the stairs into this place that we were at. So yeah, I've encountered Annabelle many times out of her case. Actually, I touched her arm once.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh whoa! You're not supposed to do that. She's in a case.
I did. Nothing happened.
Okay. Well, I asked you when I first met you and I interviewed you. I said, "Do you ever bring stuff with you?" Meaning stuff and things in human spirits. You said they never follow you anywhere or any. You've never had that instance.
No. I mean, people I worked with have, but. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, no one wants to follow me.
And yet, Sean, you said whatever this is affects you everywhere you go, which could just be stress. Or do you feel like something's following you?
No, not really.
No.
No.
It's not a presence in your
case. Do you ever feel like you're being watched?
I am right now.
Oh, great.
So there's this stand, like I carry this book everywhere because I've used it for a lot of research.
Yeah.
And Sean pointed out earlier this stain, and I thought it was ink. But it might be raspberries.
Really?
Well, I'm thinking maybe because today I had a baggie of raspberries and I looked on my seat and it there was juice all over the seat and that book was on the seat.
Okay.
It could be ink. I don't remember.
As long as it's
pretty dry, but it was in my car all day.
In your new car?
Yeah. I had to like keep pressing down this napkin into the seat because it's just like raspberry juice.
Oh, man. I hope you don't have a mess in your car right now.
No, it should be fine.
Well, in that book, Demonologist, they talk about the big three in human entities. Infestation, oppression, possession.
Oh, like the three steps to a demonic infestation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the most common one is, like, I would say I've never done a full possession case, because that's actually very rare. And at one point that this book, one point that this book states is that demoniacal phenomena won't tend to occur unless an individual grants some sort of permission for a spirit to enter its life. Doors must be open for the phenomenon to occur. Which, if you look at all the famous cases that they've done, there's always like a reason that they got, that people got involved in it and they brought it into their lives.
They asked for it.
But like on Paranormal State and even like Portals to Hell, we would do pretty close to oppression, which is like the second step, where you feel like something's kind of taking over you or taking control of you.
Mm-hmm.
You have unresolved trauma and issues you haven't dealt with, and there's just like a negative cloud around you.
Right.
Do you feel like that's why maybe, like, do you not open yourself up to, like, hey, come to me, follow me? Like, do you feel like maybe your earlier comment, like, you've never had that experience where something's followed you or stayed with you? Like, you're just not open to it?
I'm very open to it. I think I'm very strong and I have, like, sort of a shield,
mm-hmm.
maybe because I'm so positive that I've been on really weird cases, and then I've went back to my hotel room, and I've had some strange things happen. But
Have you
it
had
could be
like,
a haunted hotel. Like, you, I don't know.
Have you had like protections, like, or rites or anything like that?
Yeah, I've carried blessed metals with me that Lorraine had given me.
Mm-hmm.
Tourmaline, little crystal of tourmaline, on negative, really negative cases. But overall, I mean, I've never had anything follow me, I guess. And,
well, that, yeah, I was going to ask you, with the cases you've had in the past or new ones, did you have more just like the infestation where people are hearing the knocking on the wall and the ceiling, or then there's oppression, which is they're actually getting touched, things are getting thrown around the room, they're messing up and destroying the pictures in that book. They show like whole rooms destroyed.
Yeah.
And things levitating. That's oppression. Ultimately, possession is where it ends if somebody gives in.
Yeah, and it talks about the two laws that apply, the law of attraction, the law of invitation.
Yeah.
Like attracts like, do negative stuff. If you can't control yourself, something else will.
Right. But have you had cases recently with any of these?
No, not recently. No, most of the stuff I've been doing recently is just like Travel the Dead, for instance, me and Katrina's project that we're doing ourselves. Most of that is just us going to places we want to go. And we're not really, I mean, we're interviewing people that live there and clients and stuff, but it's not really like, we haven't done any really like client-based investigations like we used to. It's more just like, let's test like a theory and see if we can figure out what's happening here.
Okay.
Because it's a lot to deal with families. Like, it's really, it takes a lot out of you.
I would say, yeah, you must be exhausted after, and you do it all night long into the morning. What do you sleep
during
the day?
Yeah, and then when you go home, there's still, you know, you're still getting calls from people and because things are happening. It's just like a lot. It's a lot to prepare for. It's a lot to deal with. And I don't know, you're basically like moving to families' homes, and it's a lot. So I'm kind of, I don't know, I kind of don't miss those kinds of investigations.
Okay. Because you worked with Jack Osborne too.
Yeah.
And did Portals to Hell. You did two episodes?
I did four episodes.
Four.
Actually, three full ones and
okay.
half of the Penhurst episode on their season two.
Okay.
That was fun. We went to some really cool places. We went to Lake Shawnee in West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite was the Stevenson Building, which is a lot of people don't really know about it, but it's an old, it was a brothel, it was a dance hall.
Sean's kind of place. No, I'm kidding. Unless they had a goth night. We just had a
Yeah,
whole
there were
goth
no goth
night.
Nights there.
I love my goth nights.
We had a goth night discussion where we all got hit on by people, some were much older than us.
We were all wearing black eyeliner and fishnets.
At one point in my life, maybe.
I've heard about that from your brother, actually, those days.
Yeah.
Start it back up.
He called them
it's a good look.
The Sean Elvis days.
Oh, yeah.
I
dyed my hair black. I had chops. Yeah.
Leather jacket.
Yeah, I have a picture somewhere I can
show us
guys.
Pictures to prove it.
Yeah. Rock and roll. How do we get back from this? Okay. So, all right, you went from with Jack Osborne. You did that for a while. He was cool to work with, you said.
Yeah, definitely.
Is he a believer or is he...
Yeah, he's like me, but more skeptical, but definitely a believer. like, I have that equal balance of skepticism and belief, but I'm actually more skeptical. Because the more and more you do these things, you realize there's a lot of natural things that people overlook. You know, what is going on in your life can affect the way your beliefs affect the way you conduct your investigations or experience the activity. So he's actually really into UFOs.
Ah.
So nice. That was cool. We bonded over that. But yeah, it was fun working with him. It was like I knew him.
That's a very nice segue.
Very funny. One of the funniest people I've ever met.
I was going to ask you about, because your switch to UFOs from paranormal, you went to Alien Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Alien Highways. And that was a great show. What is
yeah, it?
It
was
8 episodes?
Yeah, we did 8. We were supposed to get a season 2, and then all this chaos happened with like the merger, and we didn't get a season 2.
So many good shows get dumped because of stupid corporate mergers and crap. That was such a good show. I loved it all the way up until the last episode, and I was like, yeah, there's definitely going to be a second season.
I mean, they're really pushing it. It's been airing in a bunch of other countries because I constantly get messages and emails from people. Like, I know I helped launch it in Australia. I went on like their new, I did like a news segment to launch it there, but it's still being played. Like, I think Italy, I'm getting a lot of friend requests from people in Italy and things like that, and messages from people in other countries. So it's cool to see that it's still on and like new people are discovering it.
It was effective. And in your apartment, you have that really cool poster with the three of you. Can you
looks like a sci-fi poster.
It really does. It looks like a movie or something. It really does look like a movie poster. But can you give folks just an idea, like give them a little background on Alien Highway so they could go look it up? Because it is streaming all the time.
Yes. So Alien Highway was based on Chuck Zukowski's investigations. And Chuck is really known for his work on animal mutilation cases. And he was... He wrote a book called The 37th Parallel, which he has this whole really wild theory that, you know, a lot of this activity, a lot of the Native American burial grounds, a lot of the military installations and things and hotspots for UFO sightings, if you look at a map, they line up along the 37th parallel, like the is it longitude? Latitude?
That would be... Sean?
Helps. I'm not sure.
Geography. Yeah.
But Skinwalker Ranch, does that fall on that line as well?
No. But like Roswell, Corona, like all of that, it basically like the lower half, the longitude line of the U.S., the 37th parallel. So it's a really interesting theory. So he wrote a book, which I let you borrow. You have to read it. It's really good. It goes into Roswell because he would go to Roswell so much. It's actually pretty funny because he would take his family... They would take their RV on these family vacations, but it would always get turned into like, we're going to this place where alien sightings were and stuff like that. So he went to Roswell so much with his sister too. His sister is an investigator as well. They would go to Roswell so much that he became friends with Glenn Dennis, who was the funeral director for the Roswell Army Airfield in that area when that happened.
Oh, okay.
He became friends with him before he died. And that's how we got the exact coordinates to where the debris site is.
Oh, wow.
So then our episode, we go there. So, and the funeral director, I don't know if you guys know this, but he claims he got several calls from the Roswell Army Airfield calling about after the crash, we all know as Roswell, getting calls about if he had 4 hermetically sealed child-sized coffins. And then they would call back and be like, if a body's out in the sun, like, what do we do? Like, asking him all these weird questions. So he's written stuff, and there's interviews online with him talking about, you know, his take on Roswell.
Yeah, that's...
It's really fascinating.
Really interesting.
So...
I loved all the episodes. I want more.
Yeah, but overall, Alien Highway is us. A lot of the investigations were ones that Chuck had already, like, done, and he knew the people. So we went to a lot of different places, too, where there were, like, what they call UFO flaps, where this activity occurs at one point in life, and then, like, maybe years down the road, it'll, like, something will ramp it up again, and it's, like, a hot spot for activity. So we would go talk to cattle ranchers, we would talk to witnesses, American airline pilots, and just talk about their experiences and do, like, real serious investigations, which I really liked.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean... And to bring it all together, like, I don't know how you two feel about this, but, like, sleep paralysis, alien abduction, possession, and cryptids, Do you think there's any spiritual phenomena or alien intelligence at work? Like all this stuff. Do you think there's all two separate things altogether?
That's a good question. What do you think?
I mean, do you think?
I want to hear your stance.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I've always kind of believed in like the sort of parallel dimension sort of like ideas about all this stuff. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with it, I think.
Okay. So dimensionally, so you're looking at higher beings more than paranormal activity in your house. I always look at sleep paralysis. Some people confuse it with alien abduction.
I think there's sometimes, you know, a breakthrough and something that you can't explain where there's, you know, we live in the third dimension, right? But we can only see in the two dimension, right? With our human eyes. Mm. So I think there's things that break through at times and that you experience them and you don't know how to explain it. And, you know, it's something that's always there that's probably natural that, you know, we just, you know, are not able to kind of live with. I don't know.
That's what Ed and Lorraine Warren say about the spirit world. They're there. And the inhuman spirits are all there too. It's whether or not you want to interact, and they'll come looking. I don't know where you are with that, Heather.
I always sort of separated the world of ufology and the world of ghosts. But after being so immersed in UFO investigations, there's a lot of things that line up.
Interesting.
There's things with EMF. There's things with time. I was just like trying to put together a presentation about this. Basically, with the alien stuff, I think that it's a different dimension. Like John Keel's theory, there's ultra-terrestrials on this super spectrum of another like realm where it peaks through and we don't really know why. But also, I think with spirit activity, I think it's all captured in the environment from the living person. And it's projected outwardly. I don't know how, or we don't know what triggers it, but that's, I think, basically, since there's so many like open questions about everything paranormal in general, but specifically relating to ghosts and spirits, we don't have enough information about what the consciousness is. So I feel like until we know that, we won't have the answers. But I do believe that when we die, some part of our consciousness goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I really think that it embeds itself in the location, and certain things can trigger it out, like a loop of like a tape, like a magnetic tape.
That makes sense.
I've always thought that, because when you think about the places that are super active, you think of prisons, you think of asylums, stone buildings. They're always the most active.
The mounds.
So there's
too.
Something with you know, people remodel a space that triggers activity. So I think it has to do with that somehow.
Like, I'm a firm believer too, because I just read this. You were familiar with Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Guiley, yeah.
Is it Guiley? Mm-hmm. And Kevin Paul. Haunted Hills and Hollows. What lurks in Greene County, Pennsylvania? A lot lurks in Greene County, Pennsylvania, near Waynesburg College. This woman wrote like 65 books on it. But Haunted Hills and Hollows, there's a lot of good stories in here. And they base it around a lot of it, Native Americans and us taking their mounds and burial grounds. And
it's messed up.
I mean, you got like the ghost dogs that they see all the time, UFOs, lights, fairies, like the ones in that movie Unwelcome. The Irish fairies are in folklore and not very nice, and they show up as little blobs that run around, and they see them in their houses. These folks are out in the woods, and they're like little gremlins, if anything.
Little goblins.
Goblins and stuff. But yeah, did you read this one, Haunted Hills and Hollows?
No.
This is a good one. I highly recommend it. It's an easy read. Tons of stories, and they back it up with Native American history.
Hmm.
And slaughters, massacres on white settlers as well that moved in, and whole families that haunt places. This was a good book. How did you meet Rosemary?
No, I never got to meet her. Which is surprising, because I'm sure we were at some of the same conferences.
She's familiar to me.
I'm not sure if she ever came to UNIFCON. She may have been a guest at UNIFCON, which is the Penn State conference we held before I joined the club. But yeah, I never got to meet her. I know people who have.
Okay.
So.
Well, all right. We'll take our last break here. I'm going to play a band that Sean and I have played before. They're on Bandcamp. And they are they're called PMAD, which means something, P-M-A-D. It actually means something if you look it up. I didn't. I'm going to have to do that because it's the second time we're playing them. The song is called Fury, and they are goth rock and post-punk. Folks, friends, and fiends, we are back. Captain Sexy in the house, and Heather Taddy. And in a little bit, we're going to do something completely different, and we're going to ask them some questions to test their co-host knowledge.
What?
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with
this. No, there's only five questions, and there's props that go with them.
Good.
But yes, of course, all the best conversations happen off the air, and they did again during this stormy night that we have here. I don't know where or how this happened, but Sean, take the lead from there.
Well, I was curious. I wanted to ask Heather, because I've had this experience a few times where have you ever been dead asleep and you feel like I've had two experiences. Mm-hmm. One where my name was called out. Ooh. And I just bolted awake. And another where I heard banging like two or three knocks, like loud, and then I like bolted awake. Similar, like I'm just up, but you know, two, you know, uniquely different kind of scenarios, I guess. Ever anything like that? Or
Nothing calling my name. There's been times when I've been deep in a dream and I'm experiencing something very specific, and I wake up, and it's like I'm still sort of in the dream, and maybe I hear like my cat jump or something, and I think that it's in the dream.
Yeah.
Or like I'll get shot or something, and wherever I got shot in my dream, I can feel that pain in my body. It's really weird.
Strange.
But when you asked me that, it reminded me of this time I was in Las Vegas, and I was staying in a themed Airbnb. This woman, she was like a Playboy playmate. She bought 8 apartment buildings in the old downtown area of Las Vegas, and she turned them into themed, like each room had a different theme, and they would use them for photo shoots. And I stayed in the Pee-wee's Playhouse themed room. And I'm sitting in there, I'm on the couch, and I'm just like doing computer work or something, and I notice there's a window in front of me, and there's a big long curtain, and I notice I see the curtain move as if someone's standing there and they're moving it. And I was like, okay. I got up and I looked to see if there was an air source. It wasn't the wind. It wasn't the air or anything. Like something. It was if someone was used to like looking out the window and move the curtain. So then I was just kind of like, okay, that's weird. Didn't know any of the history of the place. I stayed there for a little over a week. And in the middle of the night, I woke up. I felt a presence, but I didn't see anything in the hallway because I was laying on this side of the bed with a view of the hallway.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear my name. I didn't hear any noises, but I felt, first of all, I had to pee, but I don't know like what woke me up, but I feel like this presence woke me up. Like the feeling that there was something there woke me up. And then the next day, and this stayed for a while. I was like, oh my gosh. And then the person I was with, they also said they felt the same thing, but they didn't say anything to me the first couple of days in. So then I talked to the house, the maid who was cleaning the next apartment. And I was like, hey, what do you know about this apartment? I had this experience. And they're like, oh, that's our most haunted unit. A guy like killed himself there in the 70s. We have a lot of people that just leave in the middle of the night.
Wow.
Yeah. And it had a vibe to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. It was decorated amazing. But just that, the fact, that story that you just shared, it reminded me.
Well, my experience was like a month ago. And whenever I heard the name, it was like somebody yelled my name.
Wow.
And I sat right up and I was like, yeah. Like I woke up and I'm like, you know, I went upstairs and my wife's like dead asleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the hell called my name? Like, what am I hearing? Like, I don't know, like, what it was. Like,
wow.
Anyway, it was weird. Very strange weird. One.
I'm digging the sunglasses right
Thank
now.
Thank you. I got them off of your sunglass tree.
There is a sunglass tree. That there is.
There's always a unique tree here, so, yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah, we're going to do a very different segment here in a little bit. We're gonna have Miss D come in and ask you guys some questions.
Miss D.
Yeah, for prizes and anti-prizes, which aren't
anti-prizes.
They're not
life-threatening.
Well, you'll see. Yeah,
life-threatening.
You guys grew up.
I'm gonna have to leave.
It's a little less than being.
We should have a game. Our in game.
You guys have matching glasses.
Oh, wonderful! I love these.
Miss D has sunglasses too.
Are these children's sunglasses? I think they're great.
I want a pair.
They're doggy sunglasses.
Oh, they're dog sunglasses. Oh, my goodness. Lovely. Oh, my goodness.
Where did she go?
Oh, I got blue ones. Amazing.
Getting blue ones.
I'm sorry.
You're going to have to talk into this mic for this.
How do I look?
They're just tiny. They're so funny.
Okay, now, the first question right here. I'm gonna hand you a prop, Miss D. My first co-host was Miss D. Miss D, you're going to ask Heather and Sean, is it true or false, guys? True or false?
Okay.
Miss D, right. Do you want to talk into this mic and you're going to need this prop?
Well, let me position myself where I need to be positioned.
And talk into the mic.
Okay, not like Sean, right?
Right.
Okay.
There it is.
All right. Heather and Sean, true or false? This is a bullywug. A bullywug.
I don't even know what the heck
D&D
that is.
Fame, but it's a
true or false?
Shot. True or false?
Neither
one of them, though.
True.
True.
You're both saying true?
Yeah.
Oh.
What does this mean now?
No, you were both correct.
You were correct.
Oh, a Tootsie Pop or a Blow Pop.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sour Apple. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, boy.
I got a Tootsie Pop.
Misty, you need a prop for the next one.
Do you want to trade?
All right.
If you want, yeah.
Do you like this
better?
You
don't like grape? Yeah, I like grape.
All right, you're trading?
Yeah, we're trading our prizes.
Green's my favorite color, so thank you.
They traded their lollipops. Is that grape? Grape is the best one.
You know what I don't understand? Why is the Tootsie Roll wrapper for grape blue? It should be purple.
I agree with that.
I know.
Or green.
Well, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
I don't know, but first she got a blow, and now I got a blow. So
all right.
She's got a Tootsie.
All right, here is the second question.
Indeed.
I got to take these off. I'm sorry.
You can.
I went off the rails there, sorry.
All right.
It's okay.
So.
Let's see if they get this.
Oh, my ears.
Oh, wait, I'm on the wrong side. Here we go.
Wow. Wow.
I'm no Vanna White. All right.
Havana White?
Havana White.
That's cocaine.
Oh, oh. Sister Havana. You remember
all
that
right.
song?
There's a song.
Heather and Sean, which of these bandmates has a traveling horror museum? A traveling horror museum. I can't do two things at once.
But you got to show them the bandmates, don't
I
you?
I am.
A business card?
Wait, it's the band.
Is it Metallica?
Which one?
Oh, I know.
Kirk easy. Hammett.
Yeah, Kirk.
Why are you going so easy on that?
Kirky Hammett.
I'm giving them things.
That man is all things horror.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Whoa, Sister Havana.
No,
Urge
you can't do that.
I just wanted to show her.
No, bad.
Oh,
bad.
Never mind.
Bad. Okay.
Dave's feisty today.
A little bit, because she keeps playing with the props.
He's a real...
Misty is
grape again?
Okay. Go with the next one, Misty.
Does Sean get nothing?
Well, he does, but you just knocked it over.
Oh.
Go with the next
He's
one,
He's crying.
Please.
All right.
I want grape everything.
All right. Next question. I'm doing this so poorly.
Yeah.
I think you're wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Heather and Sean, what movie does John Amplis of Creepshow fame, among other stars of the film, credit as the real Creepshow 3?
I have no idea.
What movie does John Amplis of Creepshow fame, among other stars of the film, credit as the real Creepshow 3? So we're looking for a movie title here?
You bet. Very popular.
Night of the Living Dead?
It's around the same time that Creepshow 3 would have came out after Creepshow 2.
Oh, Creepshow
2,
3,
so 80s,
okay.
Mid-80s. Mm. Romero and...
Je ne sais pas.
Stephen King had a lot to do with it.
Say it in Italian.
Christine?
No, that wouldn't be a Creepshow. It's got to be a...
Oh, it's... I don't understand.
That
are you thinking of like Cat's Eye or something like that? I feel like I know this, like Tales of the Dark Side.
Demon Knight?
No. I know I'm close. I know. I can't think of it, though.
Do I give it to him if he said it? Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Tales of the Dark Side.
Is it?
Take a shot of that.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a
sour
shot of...
Sour spray?
A sour spray.
Hey, at least it's not pickle juice soda.
Oh, that's...
Poor Amber.
Oh, God. I sprayed your cabinet. It was like the classic scene in Dumb and Dumber.
We should have a photo of that.
You got Ren and
Stimpy. They loved it.
I'm not spraying that in my mouth. Here you go.
Stimpy.
Well, you got it right. You don't have to do that.
I can smell it.
The sour's bad.
Sean is correct, though, that it was Tales from the Dark Side. Yes.
Sorry, Ren and Stimpy. I didn't mean to spray
it. Why is he torturing himself? He just soured it.
Okay.
That's
sour.
Awful.
Sour.
And you're supposed to hold up the Creepshow CD, but... Okay.
Oh, I was supposed to hold up this CD. I'm sorry.
Creepshow.
This next one is for
Heather only.
Oh, I get my own question.
Okay, well, I can't hold the paper and read it and hold things up.
It's really simple.
All right, which of these CDs belongs to Sean?
Only one of them.
There are three CDs. Should we tell our radio audience what CDs they are?
It is Prowess, Cold, and Civette, the female punk band Civette. Cold, you know, C-O-L-D.
I'm going to say this is Sean's.
You're going to say Prowess is Sean's, whom we had on these airwaves? You are correct.
Yeah.
Woo!
Damn, I'm good.
Ah, we need like a little
make Sean
ding, ding, ding.
Do that again.
I don't even know if they're a band anymore.
Sean just
Scott left that band. They were a North Carolina sort of, I don't know, what would you say, like an AC/DC? What was the other band that they sort of sounded like? Anyway,
this is funny.
Revival kind of band, you know what I mean?
Almost sounded like old Def Leppard.
Hold them up for them.
Well, I can't do okay, that. I'll hold them.
All right.
This is for Sean.
Sean, which of these action figures does Heather also own?
Good question.
There are three action figures. There is
a
Sam.
Sam from Trick or Treat, Hooter from Captain EO, and Sprout from Vegetables.
Like the, looks really like the thought, Jolly Green Giant, though.
I thought this was
sort
like
of.
Max he Rebo.
Is. Yeah. No. I'm going to say the green guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Sean for a win.
Yes.
And hers is like this big Sprout. Yeah. And ours is we just have the tiny Sprout.
Yeah.
No. Did you ever make a Halloween costume as that?
No, but it's been on my list.
Yeah. I could see
I
that.
Had to paint my whole body green, and that's a pain.
Yeah.
All right,
I could do it.
Take
I mean,
taste of
I could make a
I'll
giant like green bean pod.
Sean
that
is going
fun.
To spray the sour candy juice into his mouth.
The best.
Yeah.
We're talking Halloween costume. Sorry.
I know, but he's spraying his mouth with disgusting sour.
Oh, and I'll he flinched.
I'll do it too. Go ahead, do it.
Let's get the reaction. Sister Havana.
It's not that bad.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's not that bad. That's what I heard.
Don't like it.
He's like,
well, folks, that's the end of my segment of
it was good.
Pelts are friends with questions.
Give them grape flavored things.
Yes.
Thank you, Misty. We'll get you in on the trivia aspect of our game next time.
Here's your sunglasses for your tree.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no, I don't need those.
Ladies and gentlemen, Misty in the house. Everybody.
Misty in the house.
Woo! Woo! Since there was no winner, I'm going to let you guys divvy up. These stickers. Take what you want from that. There was supposed to be a winner. You guys tied in just about everything.
I'm good. I don't need no stickers.
There's a cool one there, though.
When I think about
there's
it.
There's two really cool ones.
That's weird.
One of which you cannot get anymore.
I bet Sean wants that first one.
That was our house band, Face Down Presley. They were lovely. And the Cheats played
when I
too.
Think about them, I touch myself.
There you go.
You guys are awful.
And there's the laugh. This stuff really isn't terrible. Sour story.
Let me try it again.
You want to try it?
Do
it
for
the listening audience. Do it close to the mic. There we go.
It doesn't spray right.
It keeps why?
It's
just
like
when you get it.
Sorry, I don't know.
It's not that bad.
She sprayed her eye. That was great that you got the guys standing behind you.
She like totally missed her mouth and her face and got the cabinet. Right? And like,
Sister Havana.
What is this? Like a band? What is that?
Yeah, it's like a woman. Coco O'Connor.
Coco O'Connor.
She sent us some music.
Interesting.
You still doing Sister Havana?
I keep singing that.
Sister Havana.
I don't want to tell you the lyrics I put to that song, but I'm going to back then. I was when it's cold, I wear a sweater because I had no idea what they were saying in that song.
When it's cold, I wear a sweater.
I hate this fucking weather.
That works good too.
Good stuff.
Well, I guess we got to close this thing off. It's been fun. I know there's two bands coming out. One coming out this way. One Sean and I both like, and the other one Heather and I both like. Actually, you're into it too. But Pornos for Pyros are not coming this way, but they're touring all around us.
Such a shame.
I want to do a road trip for
my birthday month too.
The closest was like what Maryland.
Yeah.
Maryland's closer than Salem.
That's a trip. That's
Silver
a trip.
Spring, Maryland. I mean.
And, well, the other one was Tim Skoll. Did that already happen, Sean, in your neck of the woods?
That's this Friday.
Oh, my God.
Tomorrow.
Really? Tomorrow night.
Yeah, at Preserving Underground.
Sons of Bitches.
New Ken.
Oh.
It's the tour says it's Pittsburgh, but it's New Kensington.
New Kensington. Yeah. What venue is there? Is that a movie theater?
Preserving Underground is a record store.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
They have records and CDs and band t-shirts, and there's a lot of... It's, you know, there's goth, there's industrial, there's hardcore, there's grindcore, death metal, it's a lot like IDES was in IDES, like, heyday, I would say.
Ah, okay.
And, You know, and then they have a show space. I don't know if they have two show spaces or just the one show space, but they get a lot of bands. And I've not seen a band there yet, but I would assume that it would be a cool venue to be at. I've seen the space. No. I just haven't seen it.
Maybe Urge Overkill will be there sometime.
There you go. Yeah.
You like Urge Overkill.
They can do our version.
I can
Sister
only
Havana.
Remember Sister Havana.
I wear a sweater. Right. And I had one other question for Heather, too, because I'm getting to that part in The Demonologist, which I'm more than halfway through.
Yes.
You were talking about the Donovan part of the book.
The Donovan case. It's a case that's not really talked about, but I think it's like one of the best ones.
Really? It's not talked about. Well, there's no movie.
Well, yeah, there's no movie. It's just like not one of their really well-known cases if you don't like know them, you know?
Right, right.
But that's like one of my favorite chapters.
Why is that? What am I missing so
Because
far?
It involves a Ouija board, and I've always been so fascinated by
Yeah, you got them hanging
them.
On your wall.
I do, yeah.
I asked you about that, yeah.
Yeah.
But what the Donovan case, where does it take like what?
I think in Connecticut. It starts with this girl... This teenage girl that starts playing the Ouija board, and she starts to believe that whatever she's communicating with is her new boyfriend, and then just all hell breaks loose in their house. Like, the car engine gets disassembled, the tires continuously get slashed when the car is like inside the garage. It's intense.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm getting to towards the end of the book. Is it? I guess it must be towards the end. A lot of these stories have been made into fictionalized movies, but they're good. The movies are fun. The stories behind them, like you said, are crazy. The Nun was a movie, but is that... I know there's several Nun stories
I think
in here.
Well, yeah. There is one of their... They would go to this one place where you would see a nun. I think it's like a famous place in England. But I think The Nun, that's not really based off of any of their particular cases.
Okay, so that just
from what
they
I
went
know.
Completely fictional.
Yeah.
All right. And then Sean is holding something right now. That leaves things really wide open, doesn't it? Sean is holding the new Robert Kirkman comic book called...
What is this? It looks like...
Void Rivals.
Is that like Voltron or something?
It is. No, that is a Transformer named Jetfire. I'm not familiar with the Transformers as much. Hasbro has the rights to... they're sharing the rights with Robert Kirkman to put...
Yeah.
Hasbro products inside this comic Void Rivals. Well, that's number one. Number two is coming out, where G.I. Joe is going to step in too. So they're taking nostalgia from the 80s and putting it into this comic book, which is basically based around Enemy Mine. Kind of brings us back to Miss Valerie Sofranco.
I'm nostalgia from the 80s.
Yeah, well, there you go. If you get that, somehow they got the rights to use Transformers and G.I. Joe in this Void Rivals with Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead fame.
Are you an 80s baby?
1985.
Nice. Oh, then you are. You just missed some of the stuff that's in here. But this is a weird comic. I don't know what to think about that yet.
Cabbage Patch Kids were all the rage.
They might show up. They're just trying to sell Pound toys.
Puppies. Glowworms, you remember them?
Gremlins, yep. I was a living glowworm for quite some time in my life.
Yeah, you actually were. And there's the cassette, right?
My youngest brother had glowworms.
Yeah.
And Pound Puppies.
Yeah, Strawberry Shortcake was the shit.
Do you remember that My Pet Monster? Do you guys ever remember
I remember
that?
Those. I didn't have one of those.
I think we actually still have
I loved Matchbox cars. I had so many Matchbox cars and so many Barbies.
When my parents were building their house, we had this huge dirt pile out back, and we had like, we cut like roads into the
That's
dirt
fun.
For
I
like Matchbox
doing
that. And like did like made all this stuff.
I would crash the Barbie Corvette down a hill and make like a ramp for it.
Well, guys, this was fun. I appreciate you guys being around for the comeback episodes.
Yeah, we've missed you.
Oh, I appreciate it too, because I missed doing it. I didn't have a voice. I didn't have the strength to even sit here and do this. That's not going to happen again.
Nope.
So, let that happen again.
We won't let it.
Anything else that we are forgetting in closing that either of you may have brought to the table and we just didn't get to it?
I have some events coming up. I have Hillview Manor, August 11th and 12th, Michigan Paracon, the last weekend of August.
And the one next week is, that's the Manor one, right?
No, that's in August.
Oh, that's like around the weekend.
August
11th,
August 12th, I'll be at Hillview Manor.
Hillview Manor, and that is located where for folks that want to come
in
see?
In Newcastle, Pennsylvania, an hour outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Actually, Heather, did you see Evil Dead Rise yet?
No.
So neither one of you did.
I just don't really have any interest in seeing it.
It's good.
Yeah?
It is good. It's different if you just want to see a horror movie that's kind of unrelated to the rest of the series. But, yeah, it's pretty damn good. So in where do you want people to find you? I know you're on Instagram, very active.
All my events are listed on my website.
Mm-hmm.
HeatherTatty.com.
There you go. And Sean, in closing, do you have anything or you just want to say good night?
Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Or the fairies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the little, what? Or Sprout.
Sprout. Yeah. We're
Sprites.
Yeah, Sean, you're the only one in the room without a Sprout action figure.
Man, imagine if you woke up having like sleep paralysis and Sprout. You just saw Sprout.
Yeah, or devil bunnies.
Devil bunnies. That can happen too. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And as always, thanks to John Young of D Factor for the music in the background that you hear sometimes. And sometimes we just play his stuff. You could find everything's on now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. All the Kettle Whistle Radio episodes are on Spotify. So you can find us there. All right, and look for Dead Memories. I'm going to finish that book and get it out there, and it'll explain everything that happened to me during my hospital stay, among many other stories that are fictional. Yeah, most of them are fiction. All right, and thanks for co-host Jeopardy. You guys got to play that.
Yeah, I'm going to eat this pixie stick and then go to bed.
As you should. I had something, Sister actually, Havana. I had something else for you, Heather, because you're really into these things, I think, more
what
than I am.
What is that?
And I got to watch how much sugar I'm putting in
what
my system.
What is it?
Yeah.
Apple Fizzler. Sour
you're
powder.
You're taking the stickers, right?
Sean
takes
powder.
The stickers.
I'll get a sticker.
You're just supplying me with sugar powder.
Yeah, maybe it'll get you home quicker.
Okay. Works for
or
me.
Or maybe it'll keep you up all night.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Better be creative.
Thanks for listening.
pop culture, subculture, music, horror, sex, politics, art, and overall bad ass. This is Society 13, redefining podcasting.
Hey guys, it's Miriam Love here, and I want to share something very special with you. Check out my new release, All In, the Spanish remixes, out now on Electric House Records. And always remember, be love, share love, all love.
Available now wherever you listen to music.
Electric acid.